We'll come to order, please. Senate will come to order for the 46th Legislative Day. Would members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers this morning?
The roll shows 50 members present. Senators Booth, Van Camp, Hensley, Gilley, Jarl are excused from call to Senate.
We have a quorum present to conduct business this morning. Today's chaplain is Senator Coghill. Will everyone please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. O Lord, we begin this day by honoring you as we pause to ask your presence within our lives and then with our thoughts. Today we remember that we are a blessed and prosperous country because we remain one nation under God. Thank you for the rich heritage that we have received from those who have gone before us. Thank you for the path of freedom blazed by our four founding fathers so that we may truly enjoy the best things of life. Today, let us pause to remember those delegates to our state constitution as they set their hand and seal 32 years ago this month, a document founded gratefully to God and to those who pioneered this great land. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Senator Eliason, will you lead the Senate in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Jones?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. May we have the certification of the journal, please, for the 45th Legislative Day.
I wish to signify as the correctness of the journal for the 45th Legislative Day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 45th Legislative Day be approved as certified.
Without objection, the Senate journal for the 45th Legislative Day is approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. Do we have introduction of guests, please? Senator Rohde?
Madam President, in the far gallery are two visitors today. The first is an old, longtime friend of mine, a former member of the House of Representatives and now an assemblywoman with North Slope Borough, Brenda Itta. With her is the superintendent of schools for the North Slope Borough, Shirley Holloway.
Senator Binkley?
Thank you, Madam President. With the indulgence of Senator Fanning, I'd like to introduce two of his constituents who are in the gallery with us today. Certainly not my constituents, though, although I wish they were, but certainly two of my favorite people I'd like to introduce to the body, my parents, Mary Binkley and Captain Jim Binkley.
What I'd like to do, if I may, is introduce to the body some very, very special people before I take other introductions. One is a first-time visitor to the United States with us today. And before I introduce him, I'd like to introduce to the body Robert B. Horton, Chairman of BP America. Mr. Horton, will you stand, please? And with him is the President and Chief Operating Officer of BP America, James R. Ross, and welcome to America for the first time. And then someone we all know and have worked with before, George Nelson, who's the President of Standard Alaska Production. George, welcome. And Bruce McCrodin, Director of State Government Affairs. We see him all the time. Welcome to the Senate. Senator Sturgalewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a number of valued constituents today from District 10. If they would be good enough to stand when I introduce them. I'd like to introduce to the body Ronald Donathan, Kenneth Rupp, Deborah Johnson, Diana Waddell, Dana Lindquist, Edward Kabosh, and Kevin Renfro. Welcome to the Senate.
Further introduction. Senator Curtula.
President of the Senate, it's my distinct honor to be able to introduce today the State Dental Board. And first I'd like to introduce, and if they would too please stand, Dr. Robert Warren, who is chairman, Christine Baxter, who's on the dental board, Sandra Schwab, Dr. Tim Waller, Dr. Doug Smalley, Dr. Terry Tauchek, Dr. Paul Buxton. Welcome to the Senate.
Further introductions. Further introductions of guests. Do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Madam President.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
Message dated February 24, the House has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution.
Madam Secretary, if you could, we could have an at ease. Your microphones aren't working. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent if we could move back to introduction of guests.
Without objection, Senator. Senator Binkley.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I know I did this yesterday, and when I turned around, the people that I was going to introduce were gone. But they are back with us today, two of my good friends and constituents, Henry Deacon from Grayling and Franklin Madros from Caltech. Please help me welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Are these the gentlemen that disappeared on you yesterday?
Right.
Oh, well, we're glad you made it today. We were looking for you yesterday. This brings us back to messages from the House of Representatives. Madam Secretary, now will you read the messages from the House?
Message dated February 24. Dear Madam President, the House has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 60, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, urging expedient and positive action by the United States Congress on S-1983 or other legislation adding a second bankruptcy judgeship for Alaska.
Judiciary Committee.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 170, Finance, by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Extending Collective Bargaining Rights to Non-Certificated School District Employees.
State Affairs Committee, Health, Education, and Social Services, Labor and Commerce.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 282, Hess, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Smoke Detection Devices.
Health, Education, and Social Services, Labor and Commerce.
House Bill Number 372 by Representatives Ulmer, Hanley, Barnes, Taylor, Zawacki, Hudson, Collins, Wallace, and Gall, entitled An Act Prohibiting Suspended Imposition of the Sentence of a Person Convicted of a Sexual Offense.
Health, Education, Social Services, Judiciary.
That is all the messages from the House this morning.
Brings us to communications.
There are no communications this morning, Madam President.
Brings us to reports of standing committees.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has conducted confirmations to the Honorable Jan Fakes, in accordance with AS-39580, the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee held a hearing on February 24, 1988, with regard to the confirmation of Catherine Hernstein to the Board of Education, William Bowers to the State Medical Board, James Thompson to the State Medical Board, Francita Veal, Board of Nursing, Beverly Ingram to the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Board, Nancy James to the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Gary McCarthy to the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Bonnie Barber to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, Claudia Dibdal to the Professional Teaching Practices, Richard Hooten to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, Sid Wright to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, Juanita McCallan to the Board of Psychologist and Psychological Associate Examiners, Judy Graham to the Board of Regents. There was no stated objection to confirmation of the named individual by committee members. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further sessions for the purpose of consideration. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Josephson, Curtula, Jones, and Fanning. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 37, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for SCR 37, Hess, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Fanning and Josephson. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. SCR 37 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee, please.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill 324, eligibility to serve time in a correctional restitution center, and a majority of the committee recommended due pass. The report is signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Josephson and Fanning. A zero fiscal note is attached. Senate Bill 324 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill 356, procurement preference for state agricultural and fisheries products, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for SB 356, Labor and Commerce, new title, and due pass. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. The report is signed by Senator Kelly, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ewing and Zemanski. SB 356 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 392 relating to delinquent loans of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, EFD, and a majority of the committee recommends due pass. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. The report is signed by Senator Halford, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Duncan, Fisher, and Binkley. SB 392 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee for consideration of the calendar.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 342, contracting procedures for sale and delivery of inbound merchandise at the International Airports EFD, and Senate Bill number 322, workers' compensation EFD, and a majority of the committee recommended calendar. The reports are signed by Senator Elias and Chairman and concurred in by Senators Fakes and Jones. SB 342 and SB 322 are on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 512, Finance, Special Appropriations for Projects to Boost the Alaska Economy, EFD, and a majority of the committee recommended calendar. The report is signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Fakes and Jones. CS for House Bill 512, Finance, is on today's calendar. That is all the standing committee reports this morning, Madam President.
Senator Eliason. Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports this morning, Madam President.
Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no resolutions for introduction this morning, Madam President.
Do we have introduction of Senate bills?
Senate Bill number 483 by the Resources Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Conservation and Protection of Natural Rangeland and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources, Finance Committee.
That is all the Senate bills for introduction this morning.
Brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we move committee substitute for House Bill 512, Finance, the Jobs Bill, to the top of the calendar.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 512 will be moved to the top of the calendar. Madam Secretary, will you read the first item on the calendar, please?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 512, Finance, by the Finance Committee, for an act entitled, An Act Making Special Appropriations for Projects to Boost the Alaska Economy and Providing for an Effective Date. The Finance Committee considers this bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Halford, Chairman, concurring. Senators Duncan, Shara, Fisher, Hensley, Binkley, and Ewing. They further recommended adoption of the House Letter of Intent. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, concurring. Senators Fakes and Jones.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute House Bill 512, Finance, be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and place on final passage.
Mr. Majority Leader, just one moment, please. I thought there was a Finance CS, too, and I don't have it in my backup to read that way. I have the House Finance CS. Let's Senate stand at ease, please. Order, please. Mr. Majority Leader, will you move? Well, hearing no amendments, would you move the bill from second to third reading, please?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute House Bill 512, Finance, be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and place on final passage.
Hearing no objections, committee substitute for House Bill 512, Finance, is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill, please?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 512, Finance, an act making special appropriations for projects to boost the Alaska economy and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. At this time, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate adopt the letter of intent that is on the member's desk in the bill file. It is the House Finance Committee letter of intent was worked out with the Joint Committee for Hearings, and I move and ask unanimous consent that it be adopted as the Senate letter of intent as well.
Has all members of the Senate had a chance to read this letter of intent? Are there any objections to the adoption of this letter of intent? Hearing no objections, the letter of intent has been adopted. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. The letter of intent essentially contained provisions that were at the front of the bill on introduction originally by the governor that were probably not appropriate for an appropriation bill. That's the first part of the letter of intent. The rest of the letter of intent deals with competitive bidding, local hire, transfer responsibilities, solicitation for goods in small quantities for Alaska vendors, and so forth. Madam President, the legislation provides for $75,186,000 in projects that are designed to go to the street in fiscal years or in calendar years 88 and 89. It's unique in that it provides a lapse date that funds not spent or not committed prior to October of 1989 will revert to the general fund. We are designing this legislation to have an immediate effect and not to simply become part of the rollover reappropriation process as some things have in the past. The $186,000 that is over the $75 million original target is $55,000 that was over in the governor's original submission from the governor's projects, and $131,000 also added to the governor's projects. The legislative projects came in exactly as they were intended to come in. It provides an equal allocation in legislative projects across the state without regard to minority, majority, party, or house of origin. I think it represents a different process. It was somewhat difficult in some ways, but I just like to say that I appreciate the members' patience in trying to work it out and deal with each other to get this new process off the ground. And I think, although it's always far from perfect, it represents a very good effort and a cooperative effort from the House and the Senate and the Governor's Office to meet a real need in the state of Alaska.
Is there further discussion? Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to follow up the remarks of the Finance Chairman by, first of all, commending him and the co-chairman of Finance for the excellent job that they did on this. Through the process, I've seen a real change in this legislature with regard to dealing with an appropriation, and I've seen a real, what I feel is a positive movement, which I hope will continue in the future with regard to future appropriation bills. But I think it is also worthy to note that the governor of our state of Alaska, one that I have had some occasion to be critical of some of the things that he's done, needs to be commended for advancing this bill to us, and he certainly has done an excellent job in putting it together and bringing together the bodies on it. He's made a lot of concessions, and I think that the governor's spirit and intent is embodied in this legislation with regard to the projects which have been selected for the small communities of our state, and hopefully it'll really be a stimulus as we move down the road. And I really think it's an unprecedented bill that hasn't been, since I've been in the legislature, ever constructed in the way we see it in the form today, and that we strictly walked away from the old one-third, one-third, one-third routine, and we involved everybody in the process. And it's just an outstanding job, and I think everybody deserves a little credit on it. Thank you.
Senator Curtulo, you were seeking the floor, sir.
Merely to restate that it was probably the first and paramount bill that introduced real equity into the decision-making process. I appreciate that.
Further discussion? Further discussion?
Question.
Hearing no further discussion, the question's been called. The question being, shall a committee substitute for House Bill 512, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. So committee substitute for House Bill 512 Finance has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas with 5 excused absences. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I'm going to ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 512 Finance be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 512 Finance will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, will you read the next item on the calendar, please?
Senate Bill Number 342 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor for an act entitled, an act relating to contracting procedures for sale and delivery of in-bond merchandise at the international airports and providing for an effective date. The Transportation Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 342, Transportation, new title, and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring. Senators Kelly, Abood, Calco, and Fahrenkamp, zero fiscal note. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Lyason, Chairman, concurring. Senators Fakes and Jones. There's a Transportation Committee Substitute.
Senator Jones.
And I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 342, Transportation, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objections, the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 342 has been adopted by the Senate and is before us. Madam Secretary, we read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 342, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee, entitled, An Act Relating to Contracting Procedures for the Sale and Delivery of In-Bond Merchandise at the International Airports and Providing for an Effective Date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Amendments from the body. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 342, Transportation, be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and placed on final passage, and I would note the title change.
Hearing no objections, the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 342 is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 342, Transportation, an act relating to contracting procedures for the sale and delivery of in-bond merchandise at the international airports and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Senator Jones.
Madam President, this bill empowers the Department of Transportation Public Facilities to award their contracts either by competitive proposal or competitive bid. The way it is now, they can only go out for a competitive bid. And what can happen is the vendor who they award it to, and the award, by the way, is the award is based solely on revenue. Whoever comes in with the highest revenue benefit to the state, that's who gets the bid. Now, the danger in that, and it's been experienced that the vendor that's awarded to may not be able to live up to the contract, and ends up that the benefit to the state is not what it was originally supposed to be. So the department came in with this recommended change, and it will allow them to go out for competitive proposals. They'll be able to sit down and work it out through that process. And bring in important factors in addition to the price that can be considered, such as the company's financial position, demonstrated expertise at other locations, and the quality of products, layout, and services. So it's very important that they have this ability. It's one of the largest single source revenues to the Anchorage Airport, to the Alaska International Airport system. Total revenues are $95 million, produces $95 million, and returns to the state $17 million. So you can see how important this contract is. The Transportation Committee has thoroughly discussed the legislation and feels strongly that DOT should be granted this additional flexibility.
Further discussion? Senator Szymanski.
Through the chair to the transportation chairman, maybe he could enlighten me. Is the 7% bidder's preference still applied to this particular type of contract?
Senator Jones?
I believe it would be. That particular preference would, I think, calls spreads out through any state contract.
Further discussion? Senator Curtula.
President of the Senate, undoubtedly, there has come up the question. A competitive proposal is a somewhat more vague term than competitive bidding, at least to me. What were the areas, what were the potential loopholes for abuse for some type of activity that may not end up always in the best interest of the state under competitive proposal? What did you find was negative about this approach, something that we ought to be watching for at all times? I don't oppose the bill. I'm just curious that there's just a nuance of change here that might at least require some type of error and oversight, like the State Audit Committee continue reviewing, or as we do, say, the Agricultural Loan Fund or something. I'm just very curious that that doesn't open the door. What were the negatives to this? And that's all.
To the Senator from Mat-Su, the main problem that was brought out was the quality of service that was being received in the space leased. It was the quality of the merchandise, the quality or the financial ability of the bidder to fulfill his obligations.
Senate will stand at ease. Order, please. Senate will come back to order. We have committee substitute for Senate Bill 342, Transportation, before the Senate for final passage. We are under discussion and debate. Is there further discussion? Further discussion?
Question.
Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 342 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. So the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 342 has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas with 5 excused absences. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 342, Transportation, be considered to vote on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on final passage of the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 342 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, will you read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Bill number 322 by the Labor and Commerce Committee for an act entitled, An Act Relating to Workers' Compensation and Providing for an Effective Date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 322, Labor and Commerce, and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Ewing, Farron, Camp, and Szymanski. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senators Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Jones. There is a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, I move to consent for the adoption of the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute.
Hearing no objections, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322 has been adopted by the State Senate. Senator Halford. Senate will stand at ease. We have just adopted the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill, please, in second reading?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 322, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Are there any amendments from the body? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, before I make the motion, I'd just like to note for the body that we would hope that the senators would remain on the floor. We have a number of bills coming before the Senate, which needs all of us here to pass. So with that, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that committee set to present Bill 322, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed. Advance the third reading and place in the final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322 is before the Senate for final passage. Madam Secretary, read the bill one more time.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 322, LMC, an act relating to workers' compensation and providing for an effective date.
Senator Kelly.
Madam President, there's a letter of intent for Senate Bill 322. Could I ask the Senate Secretary to read that letter, please?
Letter of intent for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 322, Labor and Commerce, with an actuarial analysis concluding that the bill will provide a 2% savings in hard costs and an unquantifiable amount of soft dollar savings, it is the intent of the Alaska State Senate that, upon passage of the bill, the Division of Insurance request a new rate filing reflecting a reduction in workers' compensation premiums.
Senator Kelly.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the letter of intent.
Is there any objection to the adoption of the letter of intent for Senate Bill 322, Labor and Commerce? Hearing no objections, the letter of intent for Senate Bill 322, Labor and Commerce, has been adopted. Is there discussion on the bill? Senator Kelly.
Madam President, Senate Bill 322 was developed by a management organized labor task force through several months of hard work at the beginning of last year. The original intent of workers' compensation is to protect both injured workers and employers. This bill brings the focus back to that intent. It is designed to cut down on the red tape, delays, litigation, and abuses in the program. The actuarial study shows that the CS will result in at least a 2% hard dollar savings, plus significant savings in soft costs that the actuaries refuse to be pinned down on. However, the municipality of Anchorage alone has estimated that it will save them between $500,000 and $750,000 a year.
Further discussion on the bill?
Question.
Enormous amounts of work by the Labor and Commerce Committee on this bill. Senator Halford.
Just a question. This bill still represents a compromise supported by labor and management at this point.
So it's strongly supported by labor and management.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Fanning.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I commend the chairman of the committee for his lengthy work with this legislation and also commend the task force. I too have a question of clarification as to the, I think kind of the letter of intent covers the essence of many concerns that folks have relayed to me. My question is, since the bill itself begins with an extensive section on legislative intent, if there's a particular reason why the letter of intent language was not included in the legislative intent, I'm sure there's a reason for that. I just like clarification.
What do you think about the letter of intent language until after the bill was pretty much written? There was discussion during the process about mandating a rate decrease. We had actuarial studies done by the Division of Insurance. It's very, very difficult to pin down exactly how much the savings are going to be, so the committee did not feel comfortable in mandating a rate decrease per se. However, when you look at what the self-insureds tell you, when you look at the report we received from the municipality of Anchorage, where they indicate it's going to save them between $500,000 and $750,000 a year, there are going to be significant savings, and I do expect that the Division of Insurance will be able to significantly affect the rate structure, hopefully, as early as July 1 of this year.
Further discussion? What is the pleasure of the body?
Question.
Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. So the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322 has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas with 5 excused absences. Mr. Majority Leader, sir.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 322, Labor and Commerce, be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on final passage of the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 322 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Next item on the calendar, please.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 410, Resources, by the Resources Committee for an act entitled, an act relating to the operation of state hatcheries and providing for an effective date, before the Senate in second reading with amendment number 1 moved and pending. The amendment is in your backup today.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that amendment 1 be withdrawn.
Hearing no objections, amendment 1 has been withdrawn from the consideration of the body. Are there further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 410, Resources, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 410 is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, we read the bill, please.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 410, Resources, an act relating to the operation of state hatcheries and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Senator
Madam President, before we continue, I'd like to, there's a letter of intent on the clerk's desk submitted by Senator Duncan and myself. Would you please read that?
Letter of intent on committee substitute for Senate Bill 410, Resources, offered by Senators Elias and Duncan. It is the intent of the legislature to encourage any entity which enters into a contract with the state to operate a state hatchery to hire the employees who were laid off from the hatchery as a result of assumption of operation by the contractor.
Senator Lyson.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the letter of intent.
Hearing no objections, the letter of intent to Senate Bill 410, Resources, has been adopted. Is there further discussion? Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 410, Resources?
Question.
Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 410 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. So the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 410 has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas with 5 excused absences. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of the new substitute for Senate Bill 410, Resources, be considered a vote on effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on final passage of the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 410 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Next item on the calendar, please.
Citation. In memoriam, Mary Carey, by Senators Rohde, Fahrenkamp, Strzelewski, Fanning, Halford. Representative Kopanen.
Senator Kelly.
Madam President, I move to ask unanimous consent to be a co-sponsor on the Mary Carey citation.
Without objection, Senator Kelly will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Mary Carey Memoriam. Senator Josephson.
President, I make the same request, the Mary Carey citation.
Without objection, Senator Josephson on the Mary Carey Memoriam. Senator Coghill.
President, same request.
Without objection, Senator Coghill. Senator Halford, without objection, will be shown as a co-sponsor. Is there anyone, any other senator wishes to? Any discussion on the citations? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be approved.
Hearing no objections, the citation on today's calendar has been approved. This brings us to your favorite part, unfinished business. Senator Szymanski.
Unfinished business. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that I be added as a co-sponsor to Senate Joint Resolution 49, Act relating to the development of visitor center and facilities on the south side of Alaska Range. With your indulgence, Madam President, I'd like to note that at least yesterday, in a brief teleconference with the community of Talkeetna, we had unanimous support for the resolution and the activities. And with the tourism industry in town this week, AVA, it's an outstanding resolution supporting commercial tourist industry growth for the south side of Mount McKinley, and it's, I think, a very important issue that needs to be advanced, particularly with the interest being shown by our congressional delegation, Senator Murkowski and Senator Stevens and others who have indicated that there's a real need for this type of activity.
Without objection, Senator, you may be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Joint Resolution Number 49, referring to the development of the Visitor Center on the south side of Denali National Park. Senator Krutula.
President, I move to ask unanimous consent to also be shown as a co-sponsor of Senate Joint Resolution 49. I, too, was in attendance at that particular meeting by a teleconference and earlier discussed this with the chairman of the committee that has introduced this bill.
Without objection, Senator Krutula will be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Joint Resolution Number 49, the development of the Visitor Center on the south side of Denali. Further, unfinished business. Unfinished business. Senator Halford, sir.
Madam President, Senate Bill 468 establishing the Ernie Haugen public use area has had a fiscal note of $30,000 added. That bill, I think, is going to the Resources Committee now. If the Resources Committee can find a way to do it without a fiscal note, I would then waive the bill. But currently it does have a fiscal note, so I would ask that you add a referral to Senate Bill 468 to finance, and then if Resources can find a way to do it without fiscal implication, I'll go ahead and waive the bill.
Could you repeat the title of that bill, please?
Establishing the Ernie Haugen Public Use Area, Senate Bill 468.
Without objections, and with the concurrence of the Chairman of the Resources, Senate Bill 468 will be given an additional referral to the Finance Committee. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent I be excused from the call of the Senate on next Monday.
Without objection, Senator Halford will be excused from a call of the Senate on Monday, February 29th. State business, personal business, sir?
That's on personal business.
Without objection. Senator Coghill.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate for March the 4th for state business for a hearing on transportation, University of Alaska.
Without objection, Senator Coghill will be excused from the call of the Senate on Friday, March 4th for state business. And until we have a caucus, I would rather, until we talk about excused absences, I would rather have no more until we have that caucus the first of next week, if that's possible. Senator Halford, seeking the floor.
Excuse me, I was in error. I will be on state business on Monday.
State business on Monday, the 29th. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. That will be corrected. Senator Curtula.
You're into, but I also give notice now that I do intend to make that request for the same day, the 4th, next week, because this day I intend to be gone. But I'll wait till the caucus. But I don't wish other people to stand in line ahead of myself and getting excused and then not being able to.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Constituent problem.
I understand, but when we have to take volunteers to stay here in Juneau to conduct state business, it gets a little embarrassing.
President Senator, I have been that volunteer.
I know, sir. I know. Further unfinished business. Further unfinished business. I promise a caucus on the issue on Tuesday, and we'll make a decision collectively on it. Senator Szymanski, unfinished business, sir.
I was just going to announce that Senate Minority probably won't participate in that one.
I think it will be an open caucus, sir.
Oh, okay.
Senator Coghill?
Under unfinished business. So we
unfinished
could,
business.
We will be having an announcement for a caucus. It was my understanding we were going to have two caucuses. We're going to caucus on Monday, and we're going to caucus on Tuesday. We're going to caucus on Monday to talk about scheduling, talk about making sure that we have people within the Capitol so that we can do business in the Senate. And that on Tuesday, we were going to have a caucus that was going to take up our time on projected revenues and expenditures.
Announcements. Announcements. Senator Joseph.
Madam President, Sheldon Jackson College, I think in conjunction with the Alaska Humanities Forum, is sponsoring a lecture tomorrow night, Friday, February 26th, regarding the Constitution of the United States at 7 p.m. at the Juneau Douglas High School Commons. The lecturer is Professor William Allen, who I believe is on the faculty at Harvey Mudd College in Los Angeles, and who is an appointee of President Reagan to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And members may wish to attend Dr. Allen's lecture.
Further announcements. Senator Sturgeliski.
Yes. Community and Regional Affairs today, 3:30 in the Buttonbridge Room. Senate Bill 447 relating to liability for damage or injury resulting from recreational activities, and 448 relating to civil liability of certain volunteers.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements. Senator Jones.
Madam President, the Transportation Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:30 in the Belts Room. The agenda has been posted. Next Tuesday, March 1st, we will meet and take up Senate Bill 265 relating to boat numbering, accidents, and safety. Senate Joint Resolution 66. Creating a dedicated fund for construction and maintenance of roads and highways. On Thursday, March 3rd, next week, we will hear Senate Bill 463 relating to unused airline tickets, House Joint Resolution 52 opposing reductions in the budget of the United States Coast Guard, House Joint Resolution 50 removing the Highway Trust Fund and the Airport and Airway Trust Fund from the unified federal budget. Also, in that meeting, we will hear and make recommendations on the Board of Marine Pilots and the Railroad Labor Relations Agency.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Senator Coghill.
Madam President, we'll have a special committee meeting of the Senate Resources Committee in the Belts Room at noon today. We'll be taking up 191, and then the meetings for next week are going to be posted. I can read them all, but we've got an extensive calendar for next week.
Senator Fisher.
Yes, thank you. On behalf of Senator Hensley, who is out today, the Senate Finance Subcommittee on the Department of Community and Regional Affairs budget will be meeting Thursday, March the 3rd, 8 to 9:30, and Friday, March the 4th, 8 to 9, and they're both at the Senate Finance Chamber.
Senator Elias.
Madam President, on behalf of Senator Hensley, Butrovich room today at 5:30 p.m. for the Board of Regents. And also, Madam President, there will be a Rules Committee meeting this afternoon at 1 o'clock in the Belts Room. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 392, Delinquent Loans of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, Senate Bill 356, Procurement Preference for State Agriculture and Fisheries Products, Senate Bill 343, Liability of Directors of Corporations, SJR 68, Radioluminescent Runway Lights, Senate Concurrent Resolution 37, Young Astronaut Program at 1 o'clock in the Belts Room, please.
Further announcements. Senator Catula.
President, during the next week and probably into the following, this is announcement of meetings on key legislation. Senate Bill 351, Arbitrating Malpractice. Senate Bill 305, Code Revision, Security Interests. Senate Bill 339, Tobacco to Minors. Senate Bill 399, Fingerprinting. Senate Bill 419, Theft of Timber. Senate Bill 346, Good Samaritan, will be added to some other bills that are yet before us. Senate Bill 211, which myself and staff have been working on since Tuesday to come up with the substitute that has been recommended by testimony, is not complete, will be done about 2 o'clock today. And I will not call for judiciary meeting today, but would rather have each member of the judiciary look at that bill and also to phone us for any information they may wish about the amendments to it, so that on Tuesday we can act on the committee substitute. There's no use sitting around the table waiting for the bill and reading it. I myself find peculiar pressures looking at each other and going around. I think it should be available for everybody in their office. If they'll just take that time in the normal Judiciary Committee to go through that bill, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Further announcements? Further announcements? Special orders. Senator Elias.
Madam President, I move and ask the unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak briefly on the length of the legislative session.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor to speak on the length of the legislative session.
Madam President, thank you very much. As you will note, this morning we approved the journal for the 45th legislative day. And when we came into session here some 46 days ago, there was a lot of optimism. Even though some of us in the Senate believe that we could get out in 90 days. And I think that that optimism is still with us. And I think it's a realistic goal, and I think we can do that. So I guess the point of this little talk is the fact that we're starting the second half of the 90-day session. And I know there's a lot of bills in the system. A lot of them are very good bills. There are a lot of them we can live without. And sometimes I think that maybe the less we do, the better off the people we represent are in the long run. So with saying that, I would suggest that we proceed as quickly as possible. We have been doing well. It's jobs bill. It was a good example of how the legislature can work when we work together. And it's going to reflect on the legislature as a whole. But on the other hand, we might be individuals might have certain bills that are moving, but if the overall picture is bad of this state legislature, we're all going to suffer. So I think it behooves us to work together to finish our job and get home in 90 days if possible.
Stay in town. Further special orders. Further special orders. Senator Elias.
Madam President, before I make this motion, I would like to note that this motion can be only made once every 4 years. The motion is, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Monday, February 29th, 1988.
11 a.m. Monday?
11 a.m.
Monday.
That's what I said.
Without objection, the Senate stands adjourned until 11 a.m. Monday, February 29th.